One of the greatest struggles that many Christians experience is that the needs of the world seem so great, and yet we're limited in both time, resources, and energy. And lurking in the back of our mind is often this notion that whatever the problem, Jesus would help, and so should we. And so we always think that we should be doing more, giving more, serving more, helping more. And while Jesus was quite generous with his time and intention, there were instances in the Bible where Jesus said no. And we're going to look at one of those this morning. If you have your Bible or Bible app, turn with me to Mark 1, 34 to 38. Let me set the scene. Jesus and his apostles are in Capernaum, and they've made quite an impression. Jesus has cured a demon-possessed man in the synagogue, and word has spread. Jesus is now at the house of Simon Peter, and he has just cured Simon Peter's mother-in-law of a great fever. And so the Gospel of Mark picks up the story here. It says this: "When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him." And so clearly, in this scripture, Jesus is helping a lot of people. It looks like the crowd has grown. There's a line of people, and he is healing, and he is helping until the sun goes down. But then, if you continue reading in Mark 1, 35 to 38, it says this: "Rising very early before dawn, he left and went to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, 'Everyone is looking for you.' He told them, 'Let us go to the nearby villages that I may preach there also. For this purpose I have come.'" Now Jesus is told here by Simon Peter that everyone is looking for him. And the way I read that with that exclamation point is that they're a little bit frustrated. Everyone is looking for you. They're waiting for you. They need you. What are you doing? The people who were waiting were sick, poor. They were all waiting for Jesus. But Jesus says no to the request to return and says instead he's going to go on to other villages so he might preach, because that is what he has come to do. And so Jesus here, he understands his purpose, and he's not going to let distractions, even good ones, even worthy ones, pull his attention from where he needs to be. And so, in effect, he has to allocate his, humanly speaking, limited time and resources justly. This is also the case with us. One of the hardest boundary-setting words we can say is no. And saying no isn't necessarily un-Christ-like, but rather it's a humble admission that we have limits, physical ones, emotional ones, spiritual ones. The Bible addresses it in this way. If you look at Psalm 119:96, it says, "I have learned that everything has limits." Or how about Job 14:5? It says, "Our time is limited. You," meaning God, "have given us only so many months to live and have set limits we cannot go beyond." You know, a second thing that we're taught here by Jesus' no is that we're not always required to give people what they want from us. No is one of the first words that we learn as children. Does anyone have a two-year-old? Now, you're going to notice with young children, they have little fear of saying no until their parents instill a little fear in them. They are fully in tune with their self. They don't care at all about disappointing someone. And then the older we get, we start to develop a social self. And that social self is less inclined to use the word no because of all the potential impact on how we think others will view us if we say no. It's the friend that always needs something. It's the boss that wants to keep piling extra work on top of us. It's the community organization that really is a great cause. And it's even the church asking you to volunteer. Now, we need to serve. The Bible tells us to do that. We need to give to others. But it needs to be in your area of giftedness, or else it will deplete you. How do you know if you're serving in a place that you shouldn't be? You try to make up excuses. You try to back out. You don't want to do it. You dread it. And so the key is to only say yes to the right things in the first place. Matthew 5:37 puts it this way: simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You know, in geography, a boundary is a dividing line that marks the end of one property and the beginning of another. And just like you have property lines around your home, you need to have spiritual and emotional boundaries too. It's biblical. Jesus had them. And those imaginary lines say this about you: this is what I value. This is what I believe in. This is what I need. This is what I feel. This is who I am. This is where I stop and you start. And so boundaries can help us distinguish our own limits so that we can take care of ourselves and be good stewards of who we are and what God has gifted us to do. But you know, those sorts of boundaries, they're hard to see and they're sure hard to set. An emotionally healthy person sets spiritual and emotional boundaries, especially no trespassing signs in our life. And Jesus, he had personal needs that he put priority on, sometimes even over the needs of other people. In the scripture that we started with this morning, there were people who needed him. There were people who were sick. There were people who wanted to see Jesus. And yet he said no. Not that those people weren't worthy, not that it wasn't a good cause, but because he needed to stay focused on his mission. And so Jesus did not feel guilty, even putting his needs to connect with God above other people's. I mean, his soul care, if you will, had to do with separating himself from people so that he would have time to connect with God. You see, often in Scripture, he went to a quiet place. He found solitude. Jesus lived a rhythm of life that not only kept him free from burnout, but also kept him full of God. Jesus didn't live on the defensive. He didn't overextend himself and get more and more tired and then finally just have to take a break. He didn't work so much that he began to resent the people he was helping. Instead, he lived on the offensive. He was proactive in that he consistently invested time in God, and that is what renewed him and gave him energy. Jesus wasn't afraid to offend or disappoint others for the sake of staying healthy and focused on his mission and loving people. So the litmus test is this. We all have demands. We all have people who want us to do things. We have a list. And so we need to ask ourselves this question: does it bring you closer to God? And does it keep your closest relationships healthy? If it doesn't bring you to God, closer to God, and it's not good for your family, then why are you doing it? Why are you allowing it to take up space in your life, when even Scripture tells us that time and resources and energy are limited? We all think that we can do more. It's not that anyone has more time in a day. It's just some people are better saying no than others. And so this week, what I want us to work on, what I want us to give up and take up is this. I want us to give up saying bad yeses. Oh, sure, I can do that. No problem. I'm happy to help with that. Sure, I can be there. And I want us to take up saying healthy no's, just like Jesus did. No, that's a good thing, but I'm not going to be able to do that, with no explanation needed. And I'm going to tell you, the world is going to make it hard. People don't like it when you tell them no. They're going to put pressure on you to do too much, to commit to too much. They're going to try to make you feel guilty. But when you start saying no, and when you stop trying to please everyone, and you realize that, yes, sometimes people will be disappointed in you, then you make space for God, and you decide that you're going to be okay with that. If I let someone down, I'm going to be okay with that. Say no to something you need to say no to so that you can then say yes to what it is that God wants you to focus on. And we don't try to make sure our reputation is built up in all the stuff that we do, because you are not what you do. And so during Lent, we've been talking about this idea of give and take. And so this week, I want us to work as a church on giving up the wrong yeses and taking up healthy no's. And so people are going to pressure you not to do that. They're going to want you to do too much, to commit to too much. But we need to be reminded that we're not trying to please people. We're trying to please God. John 5:44 puts it this way: how can you believe that you accept praise from another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? Ephesians 6:7 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. If you try to be what you think others want you to be in order to fit in or be accepted or to prove to yourself that you have value, then you do so at the expense of your boundaries, of your emotional health, your spiritual health. And this pattern of life is exhausting, it is unfulfilling, and it is not the type of life that Jesus modeled. If we think that anything in this world depends only on us, then we're trying to be a savior. We're daughters and sons, but we're not saviors. There's only one savior, and we can't have his job. It's God that we need to pour our praise and our time and our energy out to. And sometimes we do that by saying no to things, even if they're good things, so that we can say yes to him. And so this morning, I think we admit to God that we are overcommitted, that we get tired and we get busy and we waste time, and yet still we don't have enough time. And so I ask that we ask God to give us courage to say no to whatever commitments, whatever obligations that crowd out God's presence in our lives. We need to make space for God, and we need to ask him to teach us the power of a divine no. So as we go into this week, we give up easy yeses, we take up healthy no's, and we pour our praise out to God and not to things in this world that crowd him out. Let's pray together. God, we thank you. We thank you that Jesus, as much as he helped people, as much as he healed people, that he also set boundaries in his life. He ate well. He walked a lot. He got enough rest. He was in community with other people. And most importantly, when he needed to rejuvenate, to renew himself, he took time away in solitude to connect with you and to pray. And God, as we go into the world when we leave this place today, we ask you to help us evaluate what we say yes to and the things we need to say no to. For our time here is limited, and we want to spend it well. We give all the praise, the honor, and the glory to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. As you go into this week, practice saying the yeses and the noes that draw you into the presence of God. And ask the question, does this bring me closer to God? Is this healthy for those who are closest to me? And anything that falls outside of those circles, ask yourself why you're doing them. We only have a limited time, and we want to use it well. I'll see you next week in a joint service in the sanctuary as we confirm a whole group of students. See you then.